Well, glory. Y'all take y'all's Bible. Y'all take y'all's Bible, if y'all would, today. Yes, take that word you have. And we are going to do, what's that? Your sword. You got to have your sword. Your sword. Your sword of the Spirit. The Word of God. We were led through Ephesians, and Ephesians 6 says, put on the full armor of the Word of God, the full armor. And it's not a suggestion, it's one of those things that is a requirement if we're going to be able to overcome the wiles and the schemes of the enemy. I was listening to a message from quite a few years back about some of the requirements that Tammy and Kaylee had when they went on their trip to Africa. And they had to raise a certain amount of money. They had to have a certain amount of shots. They had to have this and that. And it wasn't something that they could choose to do only if they liked to do it. It was something that was required to do if they wanted to do that. We talked about Pam and Deborah when it come to nursing, how it wasn't their certifications, wasn't something that they would do only if they would like to do it. It was something that they were required to do. And that's when Paul says, look, put on the full armor of the Lord. It's not something that, hey, just do it if you want to do it. No, if you want to live for the King, you got to arm yourself up. And that is, you know you're in a battle. Amen, is the idea. You know you're in a battle. But what we're going to do today, is over the next several weeks, I don't know how long it will be, maybe up to maybe 10, 12, 13, something like that. But what the kids are doing in the back through the summertime with the leaders in the back, we're going to do something very similar in here around the same subject or the same topic. So as parents and as grandparents and as a congregation, when you're around them throughout the week, you can talk about some of the same things they're learning in the back, like what they will glean today and their memory verse. And we're looking at Joshua. That's what they're looking at right now. And the verse that they are going to be trying to remember and something that you want to help them with. Our kids have been really doing well with that, of learning these verses. And there's rewards in life when you walk and learn the things of God, but there's also prizes that they get to get when they get to retain that word and remember it, and they enjoy doing that. But we're going to look at it, obviously, from a little more technical, when I say technical, not in that technical sense, but a little bit deeper, so that when they come home and you get to talk with them, you'll have some good foundation to talk to them about the same things they're learning in the back. Okay? So that's what we'll do in our Sunday school for men. We'll continue on with our reading, and on our Sunday night services, which we won't have a service this evening because of Father's Day, we will continue on looking at what we're walking through in our scriptures as well as on Wednesday night. But Sunday mornings, for the next little bit, we'll take some of these character studies that will look at some of these people. Next week, it's going to be Rahab. Y'all know who Rahab is. She was that harlot that welcomed the spies in, and then she turned out, as she trusted God and believed God, God did a work in her heart and her life, and she was a harlot when she was on the other side of the wall, but when the wall fell and she trusted the Lord, she became one of the great-great-grandmothers of our King David. And just a wonderful story there. So, but this week, we're going to look at Joshua. So turn to Joshua chapter 1. We're going to look at a couple different passages of Scripture that I think will help you to help them in your daily walk. We're looking at the idea of being encouraged, to have courage. That was one of the things that God kept sowing into Joshua. We're just going to do a little background on him this morning. And what their verse will be that they want to remember, and you want to help them remember, is Joshua 1:9. Joshua 1:9. And Joshua 1:9, he says, have not I commanded you? That was a word from the Lord. Have not I commanded you, Joshua. And every time God gives a command for His people, in whatever capacity that command is going to be where your power is going to be found. It's in the command of God. When God speaks a word over you, that word He speaks gives you the authorization and the power to walk in what God gives you to walk in. So you have to have a word from God to walk with God in this world. That's what the Bible teaches us about faith, right? Faith comes from what?
Hearing,
and that hearing comes from hearing a word from God. So you have to have a word from God. So when God says that, have not I commanded you, He says, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Their verse that they're remembering, it reads like this. Have not I commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. The Lord God will be with you wherever you go. So that's their memory verse right now. This is what they're learning. Have not I commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So we want to reiterate that in their life again and again and again. Now, that didn't mean wherever Joshua went, in the sense that Joshua went, if he went back to Egypt, that was null and void.
Come on.
That would have been null and void. That mattered when he led the people into the promised land to inherit what God had given them. That is what that command on Joshua's life was given to him for. That's why he prefaced it in verse number 8. Notice what verse number 8 says. Verse number 8 is going to tell him the what? Meditate on the law of the Lord. How often should he meditate on the law of the Lord?
Day and night.
Day and night. He shall always have it in his mouth. Why does he want to meditate day and night, chew on, marinate, mull over, chew the cud on? Why does he want to get everything he can out of the Word of God? So that he could what? Walk in the Word of God, in the ways of the Lord, right? That he would be able to observe to do it. If he's not thinking about it and pondering it over and over in his life, Tommy, he won't walk in it. It's impossible. And if he's not walking in it, he's not going to find his way what? Prosperous and successful. So those are the conditions that he was given, and the command God gave him is saying, I'm behind you, Joshua, on this. Not only am I behind you, but I'm with you. And not only am I with you, but I've authorized you. I've given you the best assignment that had been chosen for you to walk in. And as long as he walked in that assignment and he walked by faith, and he was meditating and he was looking at what God told him how to live, God would make his way successful and prosperous. But if Joshua decided to go back to Egypt, all of it was null and void.
Amen.
It wouldn't turn out the way that it was intended to turn out. So that's important for us as fathers, as grandfathers, as mothers, and as fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. We want to teach these little ones that, look, yeah, God has commanded us to do a certain thing for him, a work for him. He said he'll be with us in it. He's shown us the way how to live it out. He's given us everything we need, but we have to be intentional to position ourselves to see what he says about life, to see what he says about our assignment, to depend on him to guide us through. We can't go do our thing and expect the same results doing what we wanted to do that is contrary to what God's given us to do. Can't do that. So that's something very important for us to teach them. Okay, why we pray when we pray in the morning? Why do we get up and seek God's word in the morning when your little ones are watching you open up Thessalonica or wherever else you are in the Word of God, and they say, Mom, Dad, Paw, whatever it is, Granddad, whatever it is, Uncle, whatever it is. Why do you read God's word all the time? Why are you in there from morning by morning? And you can tell them, well, because God has told me that it's not good that man should live in this world without his wisdom. And God's word is wise, and it makes me wise, and it helps me be able to do things. And God told me that if I think on his word and I talk about his word and I bring his word up again and again every day in my life to get all that I can out of it, God's going to give me the ability to walk in it, and then he's going to show me the direction I'm supposed to go in everyday life. And that's going to protect me, but it's also going to protect you too as you follow me in life. So that's why I get in this word day in and day out. And I just don't abandon it or go do my thing, because all these things are based on conditions. And the condition is that as we walk with the Lord walks with us and guides us through this life. But if we go out and do our own thing, yeah, God's going to come to us to bring us back. But if we don't listen to him, we're going to be out there on our own, and then we're going to have to face everything else in life without him. And man, that's no place to live. And these little boys and little girls, our family, our children, arrows and grand arrows, need to know that these things are not just blanket statements for any kind of way of living whatsoever. No, God has a calling on our life. He's given us something to do. And when we're doing it, these things belong to us. They're ours that we can cling to. Amen? Now, as we think on that, it helps us, for an example, teaching them some of this idea about the battles that we have to fight, because Joshua's going to have to fight some battles. Joshua's going to have to deal with some people and some things. Joshua's had to walk with this group of people that he's leading for a long time now, for 40 years. He walked with them, and he watched the ups and downs, the highs and lows, the ins and outs. He's seen it all. He knew that this group of people wasn't really fighting group of people. They really wasn't prepared to fight when they went in this land. So who would they have to depend on? They was going to have to depend on the Lord to do his part of what needed to be done. As they followed him, God would do his part, and they would see God doing what God promised. And that's what we want to help them in everyday life. When God is revealing himself in your life, and the difficulties and the hardships and the ups and downs, you want to be able to point out to them that was God. God said, if we do this, this is what he would do. And we see this happening. This is God doing this right now. But also, we see that when we choose not to do what he's given us to do, there's also issues with that and problems that arise out of that as well. We all what? Reap what we sow. Look, a couple Sundays ago, Stephanie was over here early, and I'd come over here early, and we got coffee going, and she worked on the stuff for the back, and we opened up the doors, made sure the AC was set right, and unlocked everything, turned the lights on, go back over, get cleaned up, come back over for Sunday school. Well, Stephanie followed me out the side door. And I was kind of rushing her, telling her to come on. I needed to get over. People were starting coming. And, you know, we'd been over here a couple times. And she come out of the front door, the side door under the carport. And we come over. Man, we do Sunday school. We do service. We hang out after. We talk. We do all this. When we go back, walk under the carport, Stephanie said, Nick, you left the door open. I said, no, Nick didn't leave the door open. Stephanie left the door open. She said, no, I went out the back. I said, no, you went out the back earlier. You left the door open when we came over here for Sunday school. When we walked in, Pam, there was 1,000 horseflies in there. A minimum of 1,000. They threw a party in there. I'm telling you, they were flying out, Mr. Billy, and this is when they're not as bad right now. This was in the peak of when they were really, really. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Look, they went outside and said, hey, there's a party going on in here. All y'all come. And she looked at me and she said, what you gonna do? I said, we gotta start killing. So we spent the next 35, 40 minutes killing horseflies. Look, I had to get an extra trash can to put them all in when I killed them all. Because a door was left open. You see, lies just something that you want to help the kids with. You know how those horse flies are so aggravating, and they pestering, and they bite. They bloodsuckers is what they are. And you probably know this. Only the females bite. And the female bites because she needs your blood. The blood has an enzyme in it for her to reproduce. But they're bloodsuckers as a whole. And you know, that's what lies and falsehoods and crookedness and all those things that are opposed to God, just think of them like aggravating horseflies. They just want to suck the blood out of you. They want to bite you. When you go to the pool, you get in the water, you walk outside, they're just flying all over you. And man, want to get on your back, want to get on your leg, and you're trying to get this one off, another one's going to get over here. And man, they leave a whelp on you when they bite you. We see, when we meditate upon the law of the Lord, and to be able to see what God would have for us, because you're not going to see it unless you're seeking it, intentionally meditating on it, and you're not going to walk in it. When you don't do that, what you do is you leave an open door for lies and falsehoods, for the lies to come in and having a party in your life. They come in and having a party in your home. And that's why a lot of our children, a lot of our kids, a lot across this country, is because the door has been wide open, and lies and falsehoods and deceptions and all those things have entered in. Because we take blanket statements about being strong and courageous as if it applies to everything, and it don't. It only applies to what God's given us to walk in.
Amen.
And that's where we want to be found. Amen. Walking in it and shutting all the doors. Shutting the door, sealing this door, shutting it down, and keeping the falsehoods and lies out. And when they get in, you deal with it by taking it captive and teach them how to deal with it. Amen? So Joshua was raised along with the rest of the Israelites in Egypt. How old was Joshua when he died? Well, Joshua chapter 23 and 24 tells us he was 110 years old when he died. Okay, so let's think about that. 110 years old. How old was Moses when he went into the wilderness after he killed a man and they were looking for him and they was going to kill him? How old was Moses? He was 40 years old. Moses stayed in the wilderness for how long? 40 years. God came to Moses at the burning bush and he sent him back to Israel to tell them that God said, "Let my people go." Well, Joshua would have been somewhere between 30 and 40 years old when Moses showed up and told Pharaoh to let my people go. So 40 years old. Rusty, how old are you? 42? 42 years old. So let's just say Joshua was about Rusty's age. But his name wasn't Joshua. Wasn't Joshua. His name was Oshia at that time. Oshia. Moses is going to give him a new name and change it to Joshua. The word Oshia means salvation. That was Joshua's name. Moses is going to change it to Yahweh saves, to Joshua or Yahshua, which means the Jehovah or Yahweh is salvation. Why? Why did he do that? Well, there's a couple reasons why he did that. But let's just go back and look at one of the first times we see Joshua even mentioned. Go to Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17. Yeah, you got Genesis and then Exodus. So Joshua's right around 40 years old. They wander through the wilderness for 40 years. So when Joshua is given the command in Joshua 1 that we just talked about a few minutes ago, he's around 80 years old. We got anybody 80 in here today? Close. Getting close on Mr. Billy. Close to it. But he's around 80 years old. So as an 80-year-old man who's been walking under as an assistant to Moses for the last 40 years, now he's been given the responsibility to take the people into the promised land. But one of the first times we see him mentioned here is in Exodus chapter number 17. Look in verse number 9. Verse number 9. Got to keep in mind, he's about Rusty's age. He's around 40 years old. What had happened? They come out of the land and they're making their way across a wilderness, a desert, to get to the promised land. Remember, God said, I got a land for you. Where are they making their way? Well, some enemy showed up. The Amalekites show up. And Keith, they start attacking the people of Israel from behind. The Amalekites are a picture of, scripturally speaking, is a picture of the flesh. That always is going to be a problem for us. Always warring, always sneaky, always coming up from the rear. They attack the weak and the feeble. And the flesh, when we're weak and feeble, is always going to take advantage of you. And God's people said, amen. That's why we want to be what? Strong in the Lord. That's why we want to be wise in the Lord. So verse number 8 says this, now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim, and Moses said to Joshua, choose us some men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow, I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand, a symbol of his authority, like the word of God is our symbol of authority that we stand on, that we lift up. So Joshua, and here's the thing, Joshua did as what? Moses said. Fathers, that's one of the most important things that we can read this morning, is that Joshua is going to become a great leader for the things of God because Joshua was a great follower. Amen. He was a submissive follower. And that's what one of the things that we want to teach these little ones. Joshua got this word from God as an older man, but God had been preparing him for this role for quite some time. God kept speaking into Joshua these very things that he tells him in Joshua 1. He's already came and spoke to him on other occasions through Moses of the same word that he gave him, just reaffirming it again. But Joshua was a good follower, Keith. And it's not that hard to raise rebels in this world we live in. All you got to do is just let them do their thing. Are you with me? To teach little ones how to be surrendered and submissive and obedient, we have to exemplify that ourselves. And that is, we have a king over us. He has a way for us to live, and we submit. We come under orders, under assignment, and we do what we do. We don't want to be known as going rogue, doing our own thing, because remember, God's not in doing our own thing. God's only in us doing his thing, and his thing was Moses was going to lead and Joshua would follow. So here he is. Joshua did as Moses said to him, and he fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up on the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel, at the leadership of Joshua, prevailed. And when Moses brought down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy. As you can tell, they would if you holding them up that long. They would become heavy. So they were wise, Brother Shannon, and took a smooth measure on this. They took a stone and put it under him. And Moses sat down on the stone, and then Aaron and Hur got on each side of him and supported his arms, one on one side and one on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in the book of recount and recount it, rehearse it in the hearing of Joshua, so that I will utterly blot out the remnants of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and he called it, the Lord is my banner, for he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Now, a little note on that, and that was brought up again in Deuteronomy 25 in verse number 17. Deuteronomy 25, verse 7 or 17, somewhere around there. Verse 17, God reiterated to Joshua again before Moses died. He said, remember what God said. He will give you the authority. When you're done conquering this land, God's going to bring in another leader and he's going to overthrow these Amalekites for what they've done. God's faithful to his promise. And all God's people said.
Amen.
So he said, keep telling him this. Why? He wanted Joshua to know that, hey, the battle that he fought wasn't won because Joshua was strong. The fight that he fought wasn't won because Joshua was clever. The battle that he won was fought because Joshua was outnumbered the Amalekites. No, the battle was fought because it won because it was a spiritual battle that was fought up on a hill by the leader who stood with his arms opened up, lifting up, elevating like the word of God, his authority. And when he got tired holding it up, other men came along to help him hold it up. And as long as that word, that rod was held up, there was victory down in that valley in the battle. And that's where we all come in. And Joshua learned a brilliant lesson on that day. It wasn't in his strength. It was in the strength of the Lord that the victories would be won. So Joshua at 40 years old, 42 years old, is learning how to fight. He'd never had to fight before in his life. Joshua was one of those slaves that was one of those bricklayers that was in Egypt and didn't know nothing about fighting. But because he had an assignment to do, he went out with what? Courage. And he went out with bravery and did what the man of God told him to do. And when he did, God was with him because there was those interceding for him and elevating the things of God above all, and victory was won. And we want to be able to teach our little boys and girls about those things. All right, go to Numbers 13. Numbers 13. Numbers 13. So we got a victory. We got a victory. They make their way across the desert. Deuteronomy chapter 1 tells us that the people requested that they send spies into the land. This was not the initial idea of God. God told them to go in and conquer it, right?
Amen.
If they believed God, what would God do? He'd give them the victory. But the people said, well, we want some people to go in and look at the land and come back and give a report to us. Well, in the list of those men are highlighted for us of who they were. Well, let's see who they were. Verse 1 says, and the Lord spoke to Moses saying, at the people's request, because we see that over and over again, the people demanded one thing, so God gave them what they demanded. And oftentimes what they demanded and then God gave to them turned out to be a sour batch in their mouth.
Amen.
It created them more trouble than it did them any good. Verse number 2. Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am given to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man. What was this man to be known as? Every one a leader among them. Okay? So only those who were in leadership, those who were in leadership who would go into the land. Verse 3, so Moses sent from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord, all the men who were heads of the children of Israel. Now these were their names from the tribe of Reuben. Now I'm not going to go through because I can't always pronounce all these names as good as some of you can. But if you'll look down in verse number 8, we'll see a guy. What does it say? From the tribe of who? Ephraim. His name was Hoshea. Hoshea, the son of Nun. Now, what does that word mean? Salvation. Salvation. Now, Moses, out of all those that went, he's already watched Joshua lead and conquer down in when God was fighting for them. Look in verse number 16. These are the names of the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun. What did he rename him?
Joshua.
Which means Jehovah saves. Jehovah is salvation. So here's a guy who's been proven in his character. He's a leader among the people. He's faithful to what he's been given in his task. Now he's going to go into the land and spy it out, being sent by Moses at the decree of God to go. And Moses pulls him aside out of all those that went. Moses said, no, we need to change your name. And we're going to call you not just salvation. We're going to make a distinction that salvation only comes from one. And that salvation only comes from Yahweh. The Lord is the one who saves. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord is the one who saves. You know, the same word Joshua is the same New Testament word for Jesus. Jesus. The Lord is salvation. The Lord saves. He changed his name, Mr. Billy. We don't get any indication that he argues about it. We don't get any indication that he felt threatened about it. What did he do? Everybody now from here on out is going to know him as what?
Joshua.
A new name for a man that God is prepping to take over his nation to lead them into the promised land. Well, we know what happened. They go in, they come back and report. 10 of the spies say we can't do it. But two guys, Caleb and Joshua, report what? Yes, we can. God's promised it. We can take the land. Well, we know the consequences of that. What happened? God turned them back and they walked for the next what? 40
years.
40 years. So a total of 40 years. Another 38 years from that point. So for 40 years, they walk in the wilderness. And Joshua has to deal with all the other stuff that goes on in the wilderness. Was there a lot of stuff that go on in the wilderness?
Yeah.
Oh man, there was a lot of stuff that went on in the wilderness. Joshua continued to do what Joshua was called to do. And right before Moses died, on several occasions, at least two, possibly even three, God told Moses to do something. Go to Deuteronomy and we're going to wrap it up and go. Stephanie, she asked if we can give her just a little bit more time. She had something she wanted to do with them. She had something she was painting and needed to dry. So I told her we'd just spend just a couple more minutes. We're not going to meet tonight, so I don't think it's going to hurt any of us whatsoever. But Deuteronomy chapter 1, Deuteronomy 1, 38, what does it say? Deuteronomy 1, 38, let's look at it. He says, Joshua, the son of Nun, who stands before you, he shall go in there. What did he tell Moses to do to him? What did he say? Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to do what? Inherit it. But didn't he tell him to encourage him, strengthen him? Okay, the same word here, encourage, is the same word that he told Joshua in Joshua 1:9 when he said, be strong.
Yeah.
It's the word encourage. To strengthen by encouragement. To be encouraged is to be strengthened. And you encouraged when you are strengthened. Number one, Joshua had a command, and that command came from God, but the initial command that came to him came through Moses.
Amen.
God spoke to Moses, and Moses spoke to Joshua. But it comes when he gets at 80 years old, it's not Moses speaking to him anymore, God's now speaking to him. But why is now God speaking to him? Because he was faithful, Keith, to take what God said through another man to him, to walk in it, and when it was time for him to actually lead them through, now God's speaking to him as he guides them through. Why? We're talking about character here. We're talking about character here. And it takes courage to lead people, doesn't it? It takes courage to lead little boys and little girls. It takes courage to lead men and women. It does take edification. It takes strength. It takes that courage or that confidence to know that, hey, I've got a command from God. That means I've got authority to do it. I've got an assignment by God to do it. God's already promised me he's with me in it. And he's already proven himself to me in the past. It wasn't because I fought a certain way. Every time Joshua is going to fight a battle, he fights them all differently. And he always won when he fought it God's way. Now, when they went out on their own and did it their way, they lost.
Yes.
But as long as they had a word from God, trusted that word, functioned in that word, you know what they tasted? Every time. Victory. Every time. But soon as they went rogue and done it their own way, Miss Barbara, they got defeated and pat on the head and sent back whining and crying the other way. Why? Because God's strength and encouragement and courage and bravery and all those things only apply to us when we're walking in what He's revealed to us, what He's given to us. So I want you to think about that as you help, as you, not just helping these little ones, but me and you as we live life and the things that we've got to face. We can be encouraged and have a courageous spirit. Why? Because we know in what God's given us to do and we're walking in it. We've heard from Him. We've trusted Him. We believe Him. And we're walking through it. You think about those plagues that took place in Egypt. Y'all remember those 10 plagues? Joshua, he was there. He was there one night and one day and Exodus 9, when God told Pharaoh to warn all his people that God was about to rain hail from heaven. And he told Pharaoh to call all his servants and tell them to get out the field and get the cattle out of the field and get out of the field and come on in. Because God was about to rain hail and nothing left in the field would make it. Well, the scriptures tell us in Exodus 9, that some of the Egyptians, listen now, some of the Egyptians that feared God heeded His word. And they sent word and put all their servants in and got all their beast in. But some of them didn't pay any regard to it. And they lost their people and their livestock. Because hail came. Joshua was there. He heard that message. He watched how God did it. You know what another thing is? None of that hail fell on God's people where they were at. It only fell on the Egyptians. And Moses is called by Pharaoh. They sent messengers to go get Moses and bring him back so Moses would intercede to stop the hail. And Moses walks through all the hail and not one drop of hail fell on his head the whole time. Why? Because God, when you're walking in the will of God, you're walking in the way of God, you can be strong and courageous and God's going to be with you. Amen? Amen. Well, God says, I'm going to make a distinction between you and everybody else. And Joshua was there that night. And this is what he said. God said, I'm going to take away the firstborn of Egypt. They're all going to die. The firstborn of Egypt are going to die tonight. But this is what I'm going to do to prove to you I've made a distinction between you and Egypt. When all the wailing starts and all the crying starts because of people losing their children this night, it's going to be an outcry. Not one dog is going to bark. Not one dog is going to bark that night at all the crying. Y'all know how dogs are, right? You know when people start wailing and crying and the land's filled with, or like when an ambulance goes by and them sirens are going, what's a dog doing? They go to howling and barking. God says, I am going to stay the dog's mouth and not one dog's going to open his mouth. Not one. Amen. Joshua was there that night.
Amen.
And he witnessed that. And here's now a man 80 years old sent out to go conquer a land with testimony after testimony after testimony of God's faithfulness, God's goodness, God's trustworthiness, and God's proven Himself again and again. And God then reassures him, Joshua, be strong. Be encouraged.
Amen.
Be courageous. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. I'm with you. I'm with you. And I've given you a command to walk. The same authority you've seen Moses walk through this world in, now you take these people and conquer that land. And boy, did God use him. Amen?
Amen.
Did God use him. Will God use you and me? Will He use us dads?
Yes.
Yes. But we want to be found where He called us to be. Amen?
Amen?
Where He called us to be. Father, we thank You. We bless You. We praise you and give you glory. We pray that we could help those around us on the job this week, and our community and our family and our own household, that we won't leave doors open for lies to enter in, where the more aggravating horse flies will take advantage of us, these bloodsuckers of falsehoods and deceptions and untruths, but that we would meditate and mull over and think on the wonders of your wisdom and way in your word, that we would think about the principled way you've given us to walk in, and that we would trust you in it. When we fall, we would confess, get up, and keep walking with you, and that you would continue to guide us, and that we could be encouraged and walk with courage, and we don't have to be afraid of the things we have to face from day to day. Why? Because you have given this for us to walk in, and you promised your presence with us. So we thank you for your power. We thank you for your presence. And we thank you, Lord, for the proof you give us day after day of how trustworthy you really are. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with us? And all God's people said, amen. So what's that memory verse again? Have not I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor discouraged, for I am with you. Joshua what? 1:9. Amen. All right. Well, look, y'all have a great day. We're thankful for our men. Y'all love on them, lift them up, encourage them, and build them up. Amen. Encourage them. I tell you, look, you will walk through Deuteronomy, you'll see, like I said, on several occasions, before this ever came in Joshua 1, God told Moses, encourage the man. Encourage him, encourage him, encourage him, encourage him. And then God says, hey, be encouraged, Joshua. Take the lead on this. Amen? You build them up so that they could bravely walk in the Word of God. To Him be the glory. Anybody have anything before we go? All right, no service this evening. With it being Father's Day, y'all enjoy your time together. And Lord willing, we'll see y'all on Wednesday. And as 1 Thessalonians would say, Paul said, the grace of God be with you as you go today. Amen? Amen. Amen.